Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be tackling a question that's both ancient and incredibly relevant. How did humans develop language? I mean, think about it. We went from basic sounds to writing novels, composing symphonies, even having this conversation right now.
It is quite a leap, isn't it? And unlike dinosaurs leaving behind bones, language doesn't fossilize, so we're left with this fascinating puzzle, piecing together clues from different fields, like anthropology, linguistics, even genetics.
That's what makes this deep dive so exciting. We've got research articles, linguistic theories, even studies on primate communication, all to help us understand those first steps toward human language. And trust me, some of this stuff is truly mind-blowing.
Oh, absolutely. For example, one of the earliest theories is the natural sound theory. It suggests that our ancestors started by imitating sounds in their environment.
So like early humans saying buzz for a bee or whoosh for the wind, it's like onomatopoeia, but for, well, everything.
Precisely. And it's not as far-fetched as it might seem. You'll find onomatopoeic words in almost every language, suggesting there might be some truth to this idea.
But if everything started with mimicking sounds, how did we get words for things like love or justice? These aren't exactly sounds you hear in nature.
That's a key point. And it highlights the limitations of the natural sound theory. It can't account for the vastness and complexity of human language, which is why there are other theories that offer different perspectives.
Okay, so what else is out there? Spill the linguistic tea.
Well, consider our primate cousins for a moment. They're masters of nonverbal communication, using gestures to express all sorts of things. This leads us to the gestural origins hypothesis.
Wait, you're saying we might have been signing to each other before we were talking? That's wild. I never thought of it that way.
It's a compelling idea, isn't it? The theory suggests that as our brains and vocal cords evolved, these gestures gradually became paired with vocalizations, eventually paving the way for spoken language. And there's actually evidence from neuroscience that supports this. The brain regions for language and gesture have significant overlap.
It kind of makes you see those hand talkers in a new light, huh? But even if we started with gestures, there had to be something that pushed us towards developing a more complex system of communication.
You're absolutely right. And that's where the social interaction theory comes into play. Imagine a group of early humans trying to coordinate a hunt. They'd need to communicate about where the prey is, how to approach it, who does what.
And without language, that would be like playing charades with a hungry lion on the loose.
Exactly. Even simple vocalizations would have been crucial for survival, allowing them to synchronize actions, warn each other of danger, and ultimately work together more effectively.
So language wasn't just about sharing information. It was about building social bonds and trust within a group. It was the original social network.
Precisely. And that social aspect is still crucial to language today. We use language not only to convey information, but to establish relationships, express emotions, and build community.
Okay, this is all starting to make sense, but there's got to be something that really sets human language apart from the way other animals communicate.
Absolutely, and that brings us to one of the most fascinating aspects of human evolution, our capacity for symbolic thought.
Symbolic thought, what exactly does that mean?
It means we can create mental representations of things that aren't physically present. Think about cave paintings. Those weren't just pretty pictures. They were early humans attempting to capture and share their experiences, beliefs, and knowledge using symbols.
So it's like they were creating their own language.
Yeah.
But with pictures instead of words.
Exactly. And this ability to think symbolically is what allowed language to truly flourish. Suddenly we could talk about the past, the future, imagine hypothetical situations, and express abstract ideas.
Wow. That's a game changer. So we've got these different theories, each highlighting a different piece of the puzzle. But is there any way to trace how language actually developed, step by step?
Well, linguists believe there was likely a stage they call proto-language. Imagine it as a sort of rough draft of language, with a limited vocabulary, simple grammar, and perhaps even a mix of gestures and vocalizations.
So picture two early humans by a watering hole. One spots a predator and tries to warn the other, maybe pointing urgently and making a hissing sound. That's proto-language in action.
Exactly. It's about conveying the essential meaning. Even if the communication isn't as sophisticated as what we use today, think of it as laying the foundation for the skyscraper of language we have now.
And what an impressive skyscraper it is. I mean, the fact that we can make all these different sounds with our mouths and then string them together into meaningful sentences, it's mind-boggling.
It truly is. But it didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual process, with each generation refining and expanding. upon the linguistic tools they inherited.
So, it's like our ancestors were constantly upgrading their language software, adding new features and capabilities over time.
That's a fantastic way to put it. And as they became more adept at using their voices, they needed a physical structure that could keep up with all the linguistic acrobatics.
And that's where our vocal cords come in. They must be pretty special to handle all that.
They are. The human larynx sits lower in the throat than in other primates. This allows for a wider range of sounds, but it also comes with a risk.
Let me guess. Choking on our food.
You got it. It seems we traded a bit of safety for the ability to communicate in all these incredible ways.
Talk about a high-stakes evolutionary gamble, but it clearly paid off.
Indeed it did. And it's not just about producing sounds. It's about processing and understanding them, too. We humans have specialized brain regions, Broca's area and Wernicke's area, that are dedicated to language.
So while chimps might be able to learn a few signs, their brains aren't wired for the complexities of human grammar and syntax.
Exactly. Their communication is largely tied to the immediate context, whereas we can talk about abstract concepts, hypothetical situations, and even things that happened long ago or might happen in the future.
It's like our brains have this built-in language processing powerhouse that sets us apart from even our closest primate relatives. But before all those fancy brain regions and vocal adaptations, there had to be something else going on, right? Like, what did communication look like before we had words?
That's a great question. And it leads us to the fascinating world of pre-linguistic communication. We often think of language as being all about words, but there's so much more to it than that.
Right. We talked about gestures, but what other forms of communication might have been at play in those early days?
Well, gestures played a crucial role, and they still do. Think about how much you can convey with a simple nod, a wave, or a furrowed brow.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a pro at eyebrow communication.
Early humans likely had a whole vocabulary of gestures and facial expressions, long before spoken words emerged. And then there were vocalizations, not just words, but things like screams, sighs, laughter.
Delay. The universal sounds of emotion.
Precisely. Those sounds convey meaning regardless of language, and likely served as a foundation for more nuanced vocal communication. And let's not forget those incredible cave paintings we discussed earlier.
You mean those weren't just prehistoric doodles, they were actually trying to communicate something.
Many researchers believe they were early attempts to record information, capture knowledge, and share stories using symbols. It's like a prehistoric form of visual storytelling.
It's mind-blowing to think that even before words, our ancestors were finding ways to express themselves and leave their mark on the world.
It highlights the deep human need for connection and communication, and those early forms of expression likely paved the way for the development of more complex symbolic systems, eventually leading to the emergence of language as we know it. But that's the story for part two of our deep dive. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. In part one, we explored some of the leading theories about how language first emerged, from those early grunts and gestures, to the incredible role of symbolic thought.
It's mind-blowing to think about how all those pieces fit together, gestures, vocalizations, symbolic thinking, all leading to this amazing ability we have to communicate.
And in part two, let's dive into how language transformed human life. It's like language supercharged our brains and societies.
I'm ready. It wasn't just about chatting around the fire, right? Language must have had a huge impact on how knowledge was shared.
Exactly. Before language, knowledge was passed down through direct experience and imitation. Imagine trying to teach someone how to build a shelter or track an animal using only gestures. It would be like a silent movie version of a survival guide.
Talk about lost in translation, but with language, you could explain those complex processes, share tips and tricks, and pass down generations of wisdom.
Precisely. Language provided a level of detail and nuance that gestures alone simply couldn't match.
So it's like language provided the instruction manual for human progress. Suddenly we could collaborate on bigger and better projects, leading to advancements in everything from tool making to agriculture.
That's a great way to put it. And language didn't just help us build things. It helped us build communities. Before language, how could you share those epic tales of ancestors or explain your beliefs about the world?
Right. It's like trying to tell a ghost story without being able to use words. All spooky gestures and no substance.
Exactly. Language allowed us to weave narratives, create shared histories and mythologies, which helped bind communities together and gave them a sense of identity. It allowed us to express our inner worlds, emotions, beliefs, even dreams.
So language wasn't just a tool for survival. It was a tool for creating culture and meaning. It's like the software that runs human society.
And It's also the software that runs our minds. The way we think is deeply intertwined with the way we speak.
You know, sometimes I can't even think straight until I've talked through a problem out loud. It's like language helps me organize my thoughts.
That's a common experience. Language provides us with a framework for thinking. It gives us the categories, concepts, and relationships that we use to understand the world around us.
So, in a way, the language we speak shapes the way we see reality.
To a significant extent, yes. The words we use, the grammar we employ, these things influence how we categorize information, make judgments, and even remember events.
That's incredible. So even though we're all human, the specific language we speak can actually influence how we experience the world.
Exactly. It highlights the amazing diversity of human thought and the profound impact of language on our cognitive abilities.
Speaking of diversity, let's talk about how all these different languages came to be. We touched on dialects earlier, but how did we go from those early proto-languages to the thousands of languages spoken around the world today?
It's a fascinating story of migration, isolation, and innovation. As human groups spread out across the globe, their languages adapted and evolved to reflect their new environments and experiences.
So it's like each language became a unique record of a culture's journey through time, kind of like a linguistic family photo album.
That's a great analogy. And as groups became geographically or culturally separated, their languages drifted further apart, developing unique sounds, grammar, and vocabulary.
It's like each language became its own ecosystem, adapting and changing based on pressures and influences around it.
And just like in an ecosystem, there's constant change, adaptation, and sadly, sometimes extinction.
Wait, extinction of languages? How does that happen?
When a language is no longer spoken, it essentially dies out. It's a tragedy because each language is a unique window into human thought, culture, and history.
That's heartbreaking. It's like losing a piece of our collective human heritage. But are there efforts being made to preserve these endangered languages?
Absolutely. There are linguists and organizations working tirelessly to document, revitalize, and promote language diversity around the world. They're like linguistic superheroes fighting to protect our shared heritage.
Good to know there's hope. And even as we're fighting to preserve these languages, language itself keeps evolving at an incredible pace. Especially with technology.
Right. Think about how much the internet and social media have influenced language in recent years. New slang, emojis, abbreviations. It's like a whole new dialect is emerging right before our eyes.
It's like language is this living, breathing thing that's constantly adapting and changing to keep up with the times.
Precisely. And who knows what the future holds? We've come such a long way from those first tentative grunts and gestures, and the journey of language is far from over.
Yeah.
But before we jump into those future possibilities, let's take a moment to address some of the mysteries that still surround language evolution. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It's the final part of our exploration into the origins of human language. We've journeyed from those first grunts and gestures through the evolution of language to its impact on culture and thought.
It's been quite a journey, and as we wrap up, it's fascinating to consider the mysteries that still linger.
Right. We've touched on some big questions, but are there any other puzzles that have linguists scratching their heads?
Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest is the precise nature of those first languages. We can make educated guesses, but imagine trying to reconstruct a conversation from millions of years ago. We have no recordings, no written texts, just a handful of scattered clues.
It's like trying to solve a mystery with only a few pieces of the puzzle.
But what about those clues we do have? We've talked about the FOXP2 gene. Are there other genetic factors that played a role in language development?
That's an area of active research. While the FOXP2 gene is crucial, it's certainly not the whole story. Scientists are exploring other genes that might be involved, particularly those related to brain development and neural pathways.
So it's not just one gene, it's a whole symphony of genes working together to orchestrate language.
Exactly. And let's not forget the crucial role of learning and environment. We aren't born speaking a specific language. We acquire it through interaction and exposure.
Which brings up another fascinating question. Could we ever teach language to other animals if we provided the right environment and enough stimulation?
There have been many attempts to teach language to primates, with some remarkable results. Chimpanzees like Washo and Kanzi learned hundreds of signs and could even combine them in simple ways.
That's incredible. But they never quite reached the level of complexity we see in human language.
Right. While they demonstrated impressive cognitive abilities, they didn't show the same grasp of grammar and syntax. That seems to be unique to humans.
So even with our closest primate relatives, there's still a gap in communication that we haven't been able to bridge. But maybe technology can help us break down those barriers.
That's an exciting possibility. Imagine brain-computer interfaces. That could allow us to communicate directly with other species, using our thoughts. It's still in the realm of science fiction, but who knows what the future holds?
It's mind-blowing to think about the potential. We could gain a whole new understanding of animal intelligence, and maybe even forge new forms of interspecies communication.
Indeed. And as we think about these future possibilities, it's important to remember how far we've already come, from those first simple utterances to the incredible diversity of languages we have today. The journey of language is a testament to human ingenuity and our innate desire to connect with each other.
It makes you realize that language is more than just words. It's the foundation of our cultures, the engine of our creativity, and the key to unlocking the mysteries of our own minds.
And as we conclude this deep dive, I encourage you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep the conversation going. The story of language is still being written, and each of us has a role to play in shaping its future.
Beautifully said. A huge thank you to our expert for guiding us through this incredible journey. And all our listeners, keep those minds curious and those conversations flowing. Until next time.
Happy talking, writing, and thinking.